Okay. Well, good morning, church. Many of you have been asking for months when I was going to preach. Well, today's the day. Your lucky day. My unlucky day, maybe. I don't know. No, that's not true. It is actually a privilege to share God's word with you this morning. So let's pray, and then, yeah. Dear Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us this morning, that you'd give us ears to hear from you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give me a voice to speak your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome to church this morning. Hope you all had a great week, despite the cooler weather and that white stuff that I refuse to acknowledge that has been coming down the last few days. Karen and I have been here in Saskatoon now for 7 weeks, and we really enjoyed the summer weather. That was fantastic. This isn't our first time actually living in Saskatchewan. In 2005 to 2008, Karen and I and our family, we lived in Karenport, Saskatchewan. And in the 4 falls that we were there, I remember it being nice and warm, nice summer-like days and cool evenings. And I was kind of expecting Saskatoon to be like that. So I'm praying this isn't the norm and warmer weather is coming back, at least for a short while before winter comes. So before I dig into my message this morning, I thought I'd just take a few minutes to share about Karen and I and who we are. We both grew up in the Vancouver, Lower Mainland area, and both of us loved living in BC, and were sad a few weeks ago when we had to turn in our BC driver's license to get our Saskatchewan license. So we are official Saskatchewan people now. So, and the truth is, while Karen was born in Richmond, BC, my parents had moved to BC when I was just 1 year old. See, my mom's parents had a farm just outside of Nakum, Saskatchewan, and I was actually born in Humboldt. So I guess that's why Saskatoon is feeling a bit like home for me already. A couple weeks ago, Karen and I were just walking through the mall, just exploring, and we saw this store, and in the window it was just full of Rough Rider jerseys and shirts and stuff. And I told her, I suggested to her that we should probably get a Riders jersey, because I heard that was something you're supposed to do when you live in Saskatchewan. It's some unwritten rule or something. But her response was, unless they have BC Lions jerseys, she wasn't going to get one. So, yeah, I'm sorry. As for myself, I'm sitting on the fence. I can kind of cheer for both teams, I think, but I don't have anything green yet myself, so. So, as I said, Karen and I both grew up in the Lower Mainland. We spent a few years in Salmon Arm before moving to Karenport, where I attended Briarcrest College full-time, and Karen attended part-time. And while it took us a bit to get over the shock from moving from the Shuswap and the mountains to the prairies, it was a great community as we studied and learned God's word in preparation for full-time ministry. I had many great classes with professors that challenged and shaped my view on God, the world, and the church. And I remember one of those classes. I believe it was Foundations of Church Ministry, where we were studying God's love for the church and the different verses that reference the church as Christ's bride. Later that day, on my walk home from class, I remember thinking about that imagery and how deep Christ's love for the church is. Now, many of us here are married today, and I want you to think about that for a moment. Close your eyes. Think about your wedding day, that moment when you said, "I do," or that moment when you got down on one knee and asked the other to marry them. Do you remember the passion you had, that desire to be with that person? How you would do anything for them? how you wanted to spend every single moment with them. That's how Christ feels about his church. The church, you and I, here today, the bride of Christ, Jesus passionately and deeply loves his church. I thought about that for a while. And I was thinking about that, and I remember, to me, it was just mind-blowing that Christ would love us that much, love his church that much. And I remember later that day, praying and asking God to teach me more about his church, to understand it, to love it like he does. And what I didn't realize is that prayer would lead to the greatest lesson I'd have about the church while at Bible college that I didn't learn in a classroom. Over the next few months, the busyness of school and the rush to finish assignments put my desire to learn about the church on hold. Summer came, and Karen and I became busy with camp ministry back in BC, and before we knew it, we were back once again in classes. This was my final year in college. I hope to finish up 13 classes over the next two semesters and graduate that April. One of those classes included a trip where 15 of us youth ministry students would travel from Karenport, Saskatchewan at the end of October to warm, sunny San Diego to attend the National Youth Workers Convention. Yes, it was a hard class to attend going to California in winter. But we persevered and we did it. It was a great trip and an incredible experience for us to meet, learn with, and worship with youth pastors from all over Canada, the United States, and even different parts of the world. It was an opportunity to hear and learn from some of the biggest names in youth ministry. However, after spending a couple weeks in class, enduring a nonstop road trip from Karenport to San Diego, and being in seminars for a couple days, we were getting restless. Knowing that it was summer outside, 20-some degrees, bright and sunny, and everyone back home was preparing for snow, we knew we had to make use of our last day of summer weather. Also knowing that our professor was making a complete set of seminar recordings available to us when we got back home in case we happened to miss a session, we decided to skip out and enjoy our afternoon in the sun. One group went to SeaWorld and the other group went to the beach. I'm a beach person. I love the beach. I love water. I love spending time on the water. And if I'm given a chance to spend some time on the beach, I'll take it. We had a great time. It was a warm afternoon. The sun was out. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And our only concern that afternoon was getting sunburnt. We spent the time swimming in the surf, and eventually we purchased some skimboards. And for those of you that may not know what skimboarding is, it's when you take this oval sheet of plywood, it's kind of nicely shaped, and what you do is as the waves are going out, you'd kind of run along, you'd throw the board on the water, hop on, and then you'd kind of slowly surf the wave as it came out, and then the next wave would come in and you would end up in sand, rolling around, but it was a lot of fun and we enjoyed it. It's very much like surfing, but you're only in an inch or two of water. The advantage is that you don't have to worry about drowning or shark attacks. The disadvantage is that when you fall, you hit the wet sand hard and oftentimes really hard. So between my falls, I had some good runs, and after a couple hours of enjoying the beach, the sun was beginning to set, fatigue was setting in, So I decided to make one last run to top off my day, an incredible day, and then it happened. As I was skimming along the beach, riding the outgoing wave, the water ran out from under my board, bringing my board to an immediate stop and launching me into the air. And in an attempt to save myself, I planted my left foot down hard in the wet sand, which then quickly swallowed up my foot, holding it firmly, while the rest of me kept on going, crashing to the sand, the incoming surf. And as the waves were coming down, crashing on me, I remember looking down at my ankle, and I quickly knew this was not good. My first thought was, it looked like a sprain, a really bad sprain. So as the waves were crashing down on me, I crawled up the beach, and with the help of a lifeguard and those that I was with, I made it back to the van, went and picked up a quick pair of crutches and headed back to the convention that we were attending. The next morning, on our way back to Karenport, we quickly made a stop at an urgent care clinic where I learned that I didn't sprain my ankle after all. Instead, I actually dislocated my ankle, which I was told is one joint of the body that isn't supposed to dislocate. And in the process, I broke my fibula, which is the small bone just above the ankle. I broke that in two different spots, not just one. And I tore a ligament clear off the bone. Yeah, it was not a good thing. This is why I don't run much these days. So instead of getting surgery in San Diego and exploring the American healthcare system, I did have insurance, but I just didn't want to take the time to get in surgery down there. We quickly traveled back to Karenport, where my ankle was repaired. And a couple days later, as I was laying on the couch recovering and wondering what God was going to teach me through this experience, I remembered my prayer several months ago about wanting to learn more about the church. And then I came across this passage. So the passage today we're going to study and dive into is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. If you have your Bibles, open it up or turn them on. It looks like we're going to get it to work on the PowerPoint. We were having some problems earlier, but it looks like it's going to show up. So let us read here. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of the many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. So the body is not made up of one, but of many parts, or of many. Now, the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And as God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Do now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So for today, I want to draw out three lessons that I learned from my broken ankle. Some lessons that I learned. So my first lesson, the body is made up of many different unique parts to form one united body. Verse 17 again. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one. So, one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And then verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Why don't you take a second and look around? Look at the person beside you. Look at the person or the people in the section across from you. And if you want, even try and look at the people all across the room from you. There are a lot of people in this room, hundreds of us. And as I look around, one thing I notice, not one of you looks like me. In fact, as I look further, not one of you looks like another person, unless, of course, I missed a set of twins, but I hope I didn't. I apologize if I did. But my point is, God created each one of us differently. We should celebrate that difference, that uniqueness. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Let's take a minute and think about that for a second. Each one of us here was fearfully and wonderfully made by God. His works are wonderful. And now, I want to take just a little bit of a detour on this. That the use of the word fearfully always kind of stuck out to me. I never really understood why that would be used there. And I took a moment and looked that verse up in the Greek. Now, I've never studied Greek. I'm not a Greek student in any means. But from my research, I read that word that we translate into fearful can also be translated several different ways. And one of the alternative translations for that word is the word awesome. And to me, that changes this verse incredibly. Think about this for a second. I praise you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Each one of you here today are uniquely and awesomely made by God. Where many different parts coming together to form one single united body of Christ. So here we are, a collection of unique different parts. As Paul writes, some of you are the eyes, some of you are the ears, some of you are fingers, arms, legs, etc. Now, Paul does not mean that we are literally different parts of the body. He is clearly using an analogy to help us understand how the church works, how we all fit together to form one. Paul here is referring that each one of us has a different set or combination of spiritual gifts and experiences and skills that are needed in the body of Christ. Like different parts of the body, each one of us plays a unique role in his body. What are your gifts? The gifts that your Heavenly Father has given you? What is the role in the body? What is your role in the body? Are you a finger, an arm? Do you know what role God has created you for? Are you even serving in the right role? Are you working as a hand when God created you to be a foot? The problem with analogies is that they can break down and become awkward when they're pushed too far. But the point here is that each one of us has a role to fill in his universal church. What is your role? What are your gifts? Now, you may be saying, Pastor, I don't know what my role is. I don't know what my gifts are. Well, my response is, There are many different tests and surveys that can help you understand more about who you are and what your gifts are. Some of these tests are free and some you need to pay for. But I'm going to share a way of learning your role and your gifts that I learned in college. It's a lesson that I learned, or I had to pay for to learn, so I'm just going to give it to you freely, no charge. And the test is really quite simple. It's simply just try it and try things and experiment. I know this sounds simple, but in that class, we were given the assignment to take one or two gifts and just try them out for a couple weeks. Experiment with them. See how they fit. And then over a time, take a couple more gifts and try them out. See, there's nothing wrong with trying a gift. In fact, if you read through the gifts, many of these gifts are things that we're supposed to do anyways. I encourage you, try being generous. I encourage you to be more encouraging to others. Pray for others. And in doing so, you may find that you have a gift that you never knew you had. I know when I tried this gift, or went through this lesson, I had done lots of different gift inventories, but none of them showed that I had the gift of encouragement. Yet, through this lesson, I feel I might actually have that gift. So, try it. Experiment. Don't know what your role is? Don't be afraid to try something new for a period of time. Try it for a season, and after a while, you'll know if it's a fit or not. There's nothing wrong with serving in a role for a period and finding out that it isn't your thing. And in the return, you might actually find you enjoy something. Now, some of these different roles could be volunteering at club DJ or quizzing. You can talk to Marianne and see if there's a role for you in worship arts that you can fill. And you know what? There's lots of other different roles within the church or in God's kingdom that you could fill and serve him with. So don't be afraid to try something new. And if it's not a fit, that's okay. At least you know for sure. And it may be tough at first. It may not come naturally at first, but don't give up easily. I know personally, I have the gift of administration, but it's something I have to work at. It's something I had to learn, take classes in. I completely enjoy doing it. It's a gift, but it's something I also have to work at. So not all gifts just come to you easily. But I do have one caution if you are going to try something new. A few years back, I had a student who was in my youth group graduate high school. And I asked him to come back and be a leader for our junior high group. At the time, he was unsure, and he didn't think it would be his thing, but he didn't have any great excuses to say no. And with my encouragement, he decided he'd give it a shot. And I told him, just do it for a couple weeks. And he did. And after that first night, He was less sure that he wanted to do it, but I encouraged him to give it a few more weeks, to keep trying. And after a couple months, I noticed he was becoming less and less reluctant to participate and started to lead more and more. I'm proud to say that hesitant youth leader is now in Bible college looking to become a youth pastor. So you never know when trying something new will lead to something bigger and greater in your life. So go out and do it. Give it an honest effort. Find your role. Be the church. The church, many different parts coming together to form one body. So my second lesson is this. The body needs each part, and each part needs the body. During my weeks and even years, I have been recovering from my broken ankle and the damage that was done. I've learned how interconnected each part of the body is. Each part is dependent on other parts. When my ankle was in a cast and the bones were healing, I learned how dependent I was on my ankle, something I never really thought much of until I couldn't use it. And carrying books to class across an icy parking lot can be challenging. Carrying those same books across the same icy parking lot on crutches and a broken ankle can be terrifying at times. The body needs every part. There are no insignificant parts. What I learned from my broken ankle is that each person is needed. And when missing, when that part is inactive, the body suffers. Now, the body may continue to function while missing some parts. However, the body is not as strong as it could be. Like how each part of the body is needed, each person here is needed in God's body, His church. The body needs all of its parts, and the individual parts need the body. We today live in a strongly independent culture, and many of us believe that we don't need to regularly be involved with the church, that we only need to show up when it's our turn to volunteer or serve or help with Sunday school or whatever ministry we're involved in. But my challenge, and maybe Paul's challenge is can an individual part really survive outside of the body? Can an eye survive on its own, not connected to the body? I know for myself, my foot tried to detach itself from the body, and while it didn't work out so well for the body or the foot, being present, being involved helps the body. It helps strengthen the individual. When my last pastoral role ended in Dawson Creek, I felt God telling me to take a break from church. Now, God wasn't giving me permission to stop attending church. No, He was telling me to rest, stop, and be present, and not be so involved in church. For me, it was a sabbatical. It was a season of rest. But what was not optional during that time was attending church. Attending church, being part of a body of believers, fed my soul. It nourished my spirit. It drew me closer to Christ. Church attendance may not be mandatory, but it's needed if you want to draw closer to Jesus. If you're always giving to others, feeding others, when and how are you being fed? Attending and being present, being connected, does that. Being part of the body is a good thing. Now, my third and final point is this. Each part of the body needs to do its part. Now, I've covered this point a bit in the other parts of my sermon, so I don't want to spend too much time hammering this point home. But when I entered my sabbatical or season of rest from the church, it was because I had overextended myself. I had done too much. But during that time of sabbatical, I knew every sabbatical or season of rest must have an end point. Because when a season of rest doesn't, it's called retirement. Now, I've read the Bible through several times, countless times, I'm not sure. And not once have I found a verse where it talks about our ability to retire from serving from Christ. I believe we're called to serve Christ for as long as we're here. God may grant you a sabbatical or a season of rest, but those times of rest are used to prepare you for your next period of serving Him. You may think you have done your part in church, you've served your time in children's ministry, and now it's time to sit back and let others do it and relax. But I haven't read any verses saying that's true. Every time I read through and looking for those verses, I've come up empty. We're called to serve. We're called to be part of God's body. When we don't do our part, the body suffers. We suffer. The body needs each part to do its role, to do as God created it to do. We are here, one body, many different parts. The body here, serving Christ, continuing out His work that Jesus had set Himself to do. We are here, Christ's representatives, His body, the church, serving Him. And when we don't, we're not doing as God commanded us to do. We're not doing as He made us to do. So my encouragement, or what I have learned from months on a, or weeks on a broken ankle and on crutches, we each have a role to play in this church, in God's church. We need to play that role. We need to find that role. We need to do it out. And when we do, it brings life to us. It's not like a job, but it actually gives life to you. It helps you draw closer to you. Helps you draw closer to Christ. And attending church is a good thing. It helps us. It restores our soul. It nurtures us deep down inside. And when we don't attend, we just start to become empty. And that's not what Christ had intended us to do or to be. So, here we are, many parts, one body. Worship team, come forward.